From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of February 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my lovely bride, Claire Ann. I miss her desperately and can hardly wait for her to return from Canada on Friday evening. Coming up during this program, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And we'll take a look at John Deere's big reveal made this morning down in Louisville, Kentucky at the National Farm Machinery Show. John Deere has a brand new planter technology. I'll tell you all about that as we make our way through the program. And Dave Dickey will be here to go through the news for the day. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's down south, and it's not pretty there, and it'll get better, he promises. We'll also discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. They're over at the Logansport, Indiana facility. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check now on this Wednesday afternoon the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago, where the soft red winter wheat in the March contract finished at $5.87, a settlement price down 3.25 cents, July there at 5.90 3/4, down 2.5, and the hard red July finished 0.75 cents higher at $6.48 1/4. March corn futures in Chicago, $4.40, a penny and a half lower, the May at $4.46, down 1.25, and July at $4.51 1/2. That finished down 1. September corn unchanged at $4.53 3/4. December futures a gain, up 2 cents at $4.57 3/4. That for the new crop and the harvest month. And the March contract at $4.66 3/4 for the corn, up 2 cents as well. Soybeans now. March contract $13.23. A settlement price down 11 3/4. May at $13.09 3/4. Down 10 3/4. And July beans, $12.92 1/4 a bushel, down 9.5 cents. August finish 8 cents lower at $12.46. And November soybeans at $11.18 3/4, down 4 3/4. January futures 11.23 1/2, 4.5 lower. Bean meal at $4.43.50, down 5.70. Bean oil at $38.99, up 14. Live cattle in the April contract at $140.77 1/2, down 40 cents for the day. The March futures at $168.50, up 27 1/2. Down 27 1/2, rather, and lean hogs were up 42 1/2. This is Illinois Public Media. Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $100.33 a barrel, up 39 cents in the nearby. RBOB gasoline trading at $2.75 9/10. That's up 0.6 cents, or wholesale price. Ethanol futures at $1.98, or a penny and 0.8 cents higher, and the difference between the two is now 77 9/10 wide. That on the spread, it's a penny and 0.1 narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.86 4/10, up 4 cents, and diesel fuel at $3 1/6 cents. That's a penny and 0.8, or rather a penny and 0.1 cent lower for the afternoon. March gold futures at $1,295.10 an ounce, finished $5.20 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 80.68 is up 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Wednesday afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 24 degrees on a very calm wind for the afternoon. And then this evening, partly cloudy and a low 7 degrees. East winds at 5 miles an hour. Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 35. That'll feel like a real heat wave. Light south-southwest winds at 9 to 14. They'll gust all the way to 18. And then Thursday evening, just a low of 24 degrees. Friday, a 40% chance of snowfall after 7 in the morning central time. Mostly cloudy, a high of 27 degrees. Friday night, a 40% chance of snow before 7, partly cloudy, and a low of 7 degrees. On Saturday, a 50% chance of snowfall after 7 in the morning, partly sunny, and a high of 26. And Saturday night, snow, mostly cloudy, and 18. Sunday, snow again, a chance of that is, mostly sunny and 31 degrees. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 24. And on Washington's birthday, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and a high of 40. That's right. I said a chance of rain on Washington's birthday. That's Monday, and a high of 40 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It is the 12th day of February, 2014, a Wednesday afternoon, and Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County joins us to take up what's been happening in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we had one report out earlier in the week, that from USDA officially, World Agricultural Outlook Board, and the WASD figures next week. I believe you're headed to D.C., and you'll be there for the Ag Forum. Between then and now, another set of numbers are due out, those from the CBO. What do you tell me about those?
Well, you know, for the life of me, I don't quite understand why they're releasing them right now, but at the very same time, there's pressure on them to release them. That's the Congressional Budget Office, basically. And these are numbers that were created last November, just to give them baseline ideas. You know, it's a 10-year outlook is what it is. Now, the numbers that are going to come out of the Ag Forum on the 21st are the numbers that are much more up-to-date. And so there's no doubt, just like last year they were released, we'll see a variation. What it'll do to the market is the big question. Last year we saw a pretty nasty reaction to the numbers that they had, so we'll see once where they're coming from. It'll be interesting to see what the yield per acre is for corn and beans, because that I think is the number one thing that all of us are looking for. And just another wrench into the pot.
You know, there's always something that changes the marketplace just a bit. Speaking of things that change, the weather, which is not really conducive to the folks down in the southeast at this point, will be getting warmer across the southern plains and parts of the hard red winter wheat growing areas here, too, for the soft red winter wheat. What does that mean to you? Anything?
Well, it does. You know, it's always a relief if you start picking up a little bit of warmth. We, of course, have been very concerned and continue to be concerned, especially about hard red wheat out in the west as far as winter kill goes. You know, now, most of the time, if you're going to kill wheat, it's going to be in March because it's going to come because you're going to warm up, then you're going to get snow, and then it's going to freeze, and you'll get ice, and you'll smother it. This time, warmer weather, even though it's a blessing in terms of reducing winter kill, could really be a negative because they are so dry. It could take away all the moisture that they have. I talked to one of our guys the other day, and he's telling me that this has been one of the mildest winters that they've had out there in history in terms of their, you know, the up and the down and the up and the down, and that's extremely tough on wheat. So I think in general, as much as all of us want the warmer weather, it may not be the best thing.
Turn your attention to the soybeans at the moment. China has been a big purchaser of beans. I guess we're going to meet expectations for USDA for the year, right?
Oh, there's no question about that, Todd. In fact, even with the cancellation today, it switched about just under 10 million bushels this morning from old crop beans to new crop beans. That still puts us well above where the USDA is, probably about 50 million bushels. And so we need to see, if we see more cancellations, it's going to take a lot to be able to get us down even to where the USDA is at. So I think that one of the things people are always concerned about when they hear cancellations, they just think that means it's never, you know, it's never coming back. And some of the things that have changed since 2008 is the penalties don't, from what I understand, do not apply as long as they switch it to something else, to a different month. And so I think we'll see a lot of this. We'll see switching from old crop to new crop. And, you know, the reality is, I don't like to say it, but we really kind of need to do this, or we need to drive the price a lot higher, because otherwise we may not be able to, we might have to import beans to be able to meet the export expectations.
Hey, speaking of things that are happening in the marketplace, as I look at the corn market, and maybe you can help me with some range here, but it kind of looks like at least the March or the lead option, and the outer months too, are consolidating at this point, maybe with a base at what, 420 to 450? I know that's a pretty good-sized range.
Well, it's a decent range. Again, you know, today we went up to that 445 and three quarters, and you've heard me talk about it before. That's the low that December 13 put in August. It was extremely strong support for us. It's very, very difficult to get through that. We've pushed through it already, but we just have not been able to close above it. So we're at the upper end of the range. I think what you say between 420 and 450 is a real good summary of what's going on. And, you know, there's some very good basis numbers out there. So some of the guys I was talking to today have been pretty aggressive in making some sales. I think that's what it comes down to, Todd, is you have to stay connected to what the basis is doing and look at a cash number rather than looking necessarily at a futures number, because we may never get to the futures number somebody wants.
Yeah, the cash number has changed everything simply because of the ethanol and usage across the Midwest.
Oh, there's no question about that. And, you know, we had some interesting information from EIA today. When you look at the ethanol exports in November, they were at 1.964 million barrels versus October's 1.267. That's very significant. And the countries, you know, sometimes we don't, I don't know if people realize where we all ship ethanol to, but Canada in this particular case in November was the largest taker of ethanol. Then we had the Philippines and India. We just talked last week about the fact that China came in and bought ethanol for the very first time since 2011. It was the largest amount that they ever bought since 2010. We've been exporting to Brazil. So, you know, the ethanol industry is brisk, and we continue to see pretty darn good margins there.
How about the drought out to the west? I know we've gotten some rainfall, but they're still dry, and it'll take a while.
Oh, there's no question about how dry they are. You know, for the first time ever, I talked to someone out in Idaho, and they had never heard of this happening either. We always knew it could, but we had a senior water right holder that shut off a junior water right holder. The junior water right holder had a fish farm, so he is virtually out of business. All he has left is basically monuments to what he's been doing until something changes. When you look at the West and you look at California, I'm hearing that just in one part of California, over 300,000 acres isn't going to be planted due to water restrictions. Nebraska's seeing tighter water restrictions again this year, and what does that really mean? Well, one of my clients out there on his pivots normally was at 239. He dropped from 14 to 4 inches last year and dropped down to 156 on those pivots. So, mind you, it isn't every pivot, depending upon how big the guy is, but it is an indication of what it's like when you're in an area where you depend entirely on the ability to be able to irrigate.
Come back to the corn and the soybeans, but we'll turn our attention a different place, from water, that is, to corn and soybeans, and go to South America, because they're in the midst of harvest now.
Well, they really are, and, you know, it's kind of interesting because central Argentina is just has been flooding like crazy, although I'm sure that they're very happy to have that in contrast to how dry it's been. Now, you look at Brazil's still very hot and very, very dry. I still think we're going to probably lose 5 million metric tons or maybe more, but until we know more, that isn't proven. Brazil's in a different kind of situation. You and I had talked about the toll roads. Well, truck freight right now is up anywhere from 10 to 53%, and it's a reflection of the rules. I'd kind of forgotten about these that they put in place last year that doesn't allow a driver to be behind the wheel for more than 8 hours at a time, so they have less trucks available to be able to do it. And then on top of that, well, just to tell you what the impact is, if you're going from Porto Santos or going to Porto Santos from Mato Grosso, it's $3.60 a bushel right now to haul anything. Porto Santos has now put in new delivery rules, just like Paranaguá put them in, I think, 2 years ago. No truck can come there to deliver unless they've been called, and they will only be called when there's warehouse or vessels that can take the product. You know, they're trying to stop the people from lines and lines of trucks that are going through the city and blocking all the streets everywhere. And so things just don't continue to be easy down there, no matter how you look at it.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us from her office right here in Champaign County on this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Now here's Dave Dickey.
In agricultural news, Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen says that if the economy keeps improving, the Fed will take, in her words, further measured steps to reduce the support it's providing through monthly bond purchases. In her first public comments since taking over the top Fed job last week, Yellen says she expects a great deal of continuity with her predecessor, Ben Bernanke. Yellen says the economy is strengthening enough to withstand a pullback in stimulus, but that rates should stay low to fuel further growth. European Union and U.S. negotiators are expected this week to exchange offers on market access for the potential Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership Free Trade Agreement. The next round of official talks in Brussels will take place next month, but before that, the EU's trade commissioner will meet the U.S. trade representative in Washington, D.C. on February 17th and 18th. In advance of that meeting, each side will provide the other with a list of the items for which it is prepared to offer greater import access. The U.S. is known to want to increase exports of grains and oilseeds to Europe, while EU producers are keen to sell more cheese and other dairy products to U.S. customers. The U.S. exported about $10 billion in agricultural products to Europe in 2012, dominated by products such as soybeans, agricultural machinery, nuts, and almonds. Meat products accounted for more than $1 billion. The U.S. imports about $16.6 billion in agricultural and food items from Europe. Beer and wine account for $5 billion, and oils account for about $1.9 billion. Conagra Foods lowered its outlook for the year ending in May, pointing to a longer-than-expected time frame to turn around its private brands segment, along with weaker-than-expected volumes in its consumer foods segment. Conagra expects volumes in its food business to decline 3-4% in the second half of 2014, worse than the 1-2% decline previously expected. Conagra said its outlook is also affected by the delay of the formation of flour product company Ardent Mills, a joint venture between Conagra, Cargill Incorporated, and CHS Incorporated, which was supposed to close in the first quarter. The transaction is now expected to close in the second quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming and puts together our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, please do. 217-333-7300 is the number to call. Most of our analysts will be there. Sue Martin will be a special guest along with Murray Wise. Should be a great show. It's just $30, and that's $5 more than usual. Why? Because we have a 25th anniversary hat. This is the 25th year of the All-Day Ag Outlook just for you. If you sign up today, the $30 gets you everything over at the All-Day Ag Outlook, March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, the Continental Breakfast, the Beef House Lunch, and our hat, along with a great day of really good information. Sign up now, 217-333-7300 is the number to call. Okay, so this next story is going to seem a little bit self-serving to you because we're headed up to John Deere, to Moline, and to Waterloo to watch the tractors and the combines being made March 10, 11, and 12. Call 217-333-7300 if you want to go along. It's $550 and mostly all-inclusive. All the details are on our website at willag.org. Here's the story. John Deere says it has groundbreaking planter technology. The Moline, Illinois-based company revealed the exact eMERGE planter this morning at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky.
The revolutionary new John Deere 1775 NT exact eMERGE planter.
With a curtain and the fanfare there raised to reveal a planter Deere claims accurately placed the seed, running at up to 10 miles an hour. It says that's twice the speed planters on the market can run with any accuracy now. And you can just see how this is accomplished on the John Deere website. Here's the short version. The planter does not have a seed tube. Remember that part because it's important. The bulk hopper feeds a smaller hopper at each exact eMERGE unit. The units are designed to deliver seed under vacuum pressure on an up to 14-degree slope. Now comes the real technology. The units have what I'll call a brush disc and a brush belt in them. The disc, well, that's just a circle with a brush on the outer edge that does the seed pickup and has a way to space just one seed no matter the size or the shape. This creates the spacing for the eventual placement. This disc then hands the space seeds off to a brush belt, not a seed tube. The brush on the belt continues to hold the seed in place and hauls the seed from the top of the unit to the trench. It runs at ground speed and delivers the seed to the trench pointed slightly backwards. So, roughly speaking, this means the seed hits the bottom of the trench running backwards at the same speed the planter is moving forward. That is, Deere says it hits the bottom of the trench and stays put, just one seed spaced evenly from the seed placed before and after it. I love technology, and this one, well, it seems pretty cool. Pretty important stuff, too, if I remember correctly from what the agronomists at Illinois and Iowa and other places have been saying. Accurate seed spacing has been viewed as one of the impediments to increasing yield. Apparently, it's all about uniformity. Again, I know this one seems to be a little self-serving. I apologize for that, but it looks like really cool technology. If we get lucky, maybe we'll be able to ask them about it when we head to John Deere on the 10th, 11th, and 12th of March to see not the planters being made, but the combines and the tractors. You can come along. You can do that by just calling this number, 217-333-7300. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 12th day of February, a Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver now on the phone line. She's at the Anderson's facility that's called the Climbers in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you. How are you, Tara?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm really, really good. Tell me about bases in the area there.
Basis certainly feels just a hair softer. I mean, it's been holding steady here, but we really saw a lot of increased selling and movement really on the last rally that we had over the past week to 7 to 10 days. Quite a few guys starting to let some loose here for February, but weather has certainly been the biggest problem as far as physically getting it moved.
When we talked to your colleagues in Everly, Iowa on Fridays, they have been telling us for a couple of weeks that the ethanol plants there are booked up and they're weakening basis just a bit. How about your ethanol plant where you are? Have you got everything booked in for a couple of months or not?
Not quite a couple of months. I think every ethanol plant's somewhat in similar situations this year where there's not a whole lot of deferred corn on the books. So, you know, the focus is certainly in the nearby month, and everybody's really gotten their February book covered and is certainly starting to get a good chunk of March on the books. But then as you look into April, May, and June, July, there's still quite a bit of work to be done.
Have you and the folks in the office been talking about what the big next big thing might be in the marketplace, and do you have any good ideas?
Yeah, I mean, certainly been trying to talk about what the next big move will be, especially on the basis side of things. I mean, we know there's a lot of producers who have corn, so figuring out when the next big move is, if that's before planning or if everybody's really going to hang on till the bitter end, and then looking at the future side of things, just really not a whole lot of demand news as we had export demand last week starting to fall off. So, you know, are we going to get something from this acreage battle?
Do you have a cash point where you think the next big move will happen? Is it 450 or something above that?
No, I think it's 450. We had a lot who took some interest at 440 and kind of felt comfortable with what they got booked in the short term. So I think most would look to that 450 mark, you know, trying to be realistic. And it seems like a lot of people have kind of turned to that camp.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash price at Delphi tonight is $4.34. At Climbers, it's $4.37. And beans into Delphi are at $13.33.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tara Oliver, she's at the Andersons there in Logansport, Indiana. Joined us on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. You can always hear her again, all of our programming for that matter, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Don't forget, you can call in, too, at 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. Update it with some analysis and some numbers at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, just in case you can't get to a radio station or to our websites. Back in 2 minutes with the weather.
It's National Plum Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, Peter Cooper was born. An American inventor and founder of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, he obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1850, William Davis was born, a U.S. geographer, geologist, and meteorologist. He founded the science of the study of landforms. In 1872, Silas Noble and James P. Cooley of Massachusetts patented a toothpick-making machine. In 1877, a news dispatch was sent using Alexander Graham Bell's newfangled invention, the telephone, for the first time in the U.S. It was sent from Salem to the Boston Globe in Boston, a distance of 16 miles. In 1973, the first metric distance road signs in the U.S. were erected between Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio. By the way, as early as 1790, Thomas Jefferson proposed a decimal measurement system similar to the metric system. And in 1976, the popular food coloring red dye number 2 was banned by the Food and Drug Administration because studies had shown it might cause cancer. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated joins us. Drew, where are you traveling to today?
Today I'm in Georgia, enjoying the edges of the big ice storm. I seem to manage to go to places that are warm once in a while, but it seems like it's just a matter of hours and the cold catches up with me. So I guess you can't win for losing.
I suppose not. Speaking of warm, I guess we're going to get warmer here. Is that right?
It is. And I was just working on that here today a little bit. Before everyone gets all wound up thinking that winter is finally over, not to throw a wet blanket on this deal, but it isn't over. And we will warm up, and it's going to be welcome, and we'll enjoy it. We'll be able to melt some snow. Unfortunately, in the southern plains, we may actually bring some wheat out of dormancy and start drying the soil out, and we get some 70 and 80 degree highs going on down there over the next 4 or 5 days. That's not going to be all that welcome, especially because I know that there's going to be more cold air coming. The upper flow pattern, the dominating pattern of the winter season, is not done with us. We are going to see colder air return. It's just a matter of when. My guess is probably going to be about a 10-day break that we'll see, maybe something a little bit longer, but we'll find ourselves falling back into some more cold air as we get to the end of February and on into the first days of March. So, fasten your seatbelts. There's going to be some more wild weather coming up.
You know, if you can just tell us when you'll be traveling to the southern Great Plains, we'll know exactly when the cold air is going to arrive.
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't have anything set up for the moment.
So. Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere now and take up South America, please.
Well, the weather in Brazil is about to break now. We went through a period here over the past two or three weeks where it got very dry across Brazil and it's gotten very warm as well. We depleted soil moisture across some very important crop areas. Stress showed up. We started worrying about the crop. But as it turns out, it looks like rain will start up here really over the next couple of days in some of the southern parts of Brazil and become more widespread into the weekend and then back out again for a little while and come back again late next week. And the only places in Brazil that will continue in a droughty type pattern will be in the northeast part of the country, and this will have a bigger impact on coffee than it will on grains or oilseeds.
Anything else in the growing regions there in South America?
Well, it still looks as though Argentina will likely see a favorable weather pattern. You know, they had some tough weather earlier in the growing season. But here in the last couple of weeks, we've done a good job in healing up the droughty weather that was occurring there. And it looks like a more normal weather pattern will occur as we go forward. And one last comment, if you're concerned about wheat in other areas of the world, everybody looks very good right now. North Africa is going to have a great durum crop. China is going to do very well, and India will do well as well.
That's Drew Lerner, of course. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Helps us wrap it up. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.